Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the final hour of this week's program. God willing, I'll be back on Monday. Joining me here in the studio is the honorable former sheriff of Bristol County, Tom Hodgson. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, Chris.
Of course, Lenny Mills is with us as well.
Good morning, Sheriff. Nice to see you.
Yeah, great to see you. Welcome back.
Yeah. You want to be at that mic?
Yeah, good morning, Sheriff. Nice to see you.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Say hello.
Yeah, good morning, Sheriff. Nice to see you.
Okay, great. So we had all the mics.
Three's a charm,
mm-hmm. Sheriff. Beautiful day out there, right?
Oh, it is.
Watch out, Sheriff, because he's cut me off three times today on the
got to rebuild
so
trust.
You're actually doing better than me.
I got to rebuild my trust with Lenny.
Yeah.
He abandoned me for a couple of weeks for better people and better environment. But now he's back.
He's back.
He thought he got out, but they dragged him back in.
Yeah, we all know that scene, right?
Tom, before you got here, Lenny and I were talking about Governor Healey's continued war on sanity. So you, of course, originally, before Donald Trump was talking about illegal aliens, in fact, I think he saw clips of you and picked up your mantra on the dangers of illegal immigration, as opposed to the benefits of legal immigration and how they're two entirely different categories. One of the parts that law enforcement use, and I'm going to ask you to talk about it, are these ghost license plates that ICE gets issued in every other state just about, except now Governor Healey has decided to interrupt a really well-running machine that takes criminal illegal aliens, drug dealers, murderers, child molesters, off the streets, with the ICE using these undercover license plates. She's trying to stop it. Why, Tom?
Well, she wants to protect. She has a long history of this, as we all know. She wants to try to do everything she can to minimize the chances that law enforcement will be able to identify these individuals while working in the communities and not being doxxed while they're performing their duties. And she wants to make sure that she can do everything she can to expose them and make it harder for them to arrest these criminal illegal aliens and people that have violated the immigration laws, you know, repeatedly coming back into the country and so forth. And I think the thing that's really, I was reading the article today, and one of the things reasons she gives, she said, you know, that they shouldn't have these federal confidential plates. They're a federal agency and they shouldn't be using them. Well, then are you saying also that local law enforcement and the FBI and DEA who help local law enforcement can't have these confidential plates? It's absurd. And this is just another example of Mara Healey's attempts to undermine federal law to protect people who violated the law and expose all of us, our citizens, our families, our communities, to more crime by criminally illegal aliens by making it difficult to get them out. And of course, the PROTECT Act and all the things that they've done to try and tie the hands of law enforcement. I just saw down in Maryland, the 17 sheriffs have come out and they did a big press conference and said, this is outrageous. We're standing in support of supporting the rule of law. And they're in protest against the new policies down in Maryland, which were as extreme as they are here in Massachusetts. So look, this issue is not about Democrats, independents, Republicans. This is about a governor,
right,
who has completely failed on her most basic responsibility to support the rule of law and do everything possible as governor to make sure that we're preventing anyone from being victimized by criminals who are here and exposing those people so that law enforcement can arrest them, including at the prisons. And I think we've talked about this before, Chris. You know, when we had our ICE facility and we had 287G, when somebody got brought in, if ICE wanted them, they'd let us know,
right,
hey, look, hold that person, let us know when they're going to be released, and we'll come get them. So when they came onto our property, of course, it's very safe. You need one ICE officer, maybe two.
Right.
As opposed to saying, well, you know what? We're not going to tell you. We're going to release them, and you're going to have to go find them. Now ICE has to spend more of our money, more time, more resources, 5-6 officers, to go into a neighborhood where not only are they at risk, but the people in that neighborhood are at risk now because you got protesters and everybody else who are being helped by people like Mara Healy to identify that these are ICE people.
Right.
And then, and the other one last thing I'll say is this whole idea of, you know, get rid of their masks. Did you ever hear Mara Healy say that anybody who's rioting in our streets, breaking the front windows of business owners, businesses and things like that. Did you ever hear her say, we need to have a law in place that prevents anybody that makes it a penalty for anybody who's wearing a mask committing a crime against people? You never heard her talk about that.
No.
She's not interested in protecting us. She's interested in protecting the criminals.
The reality of it is that Mara Healy and other Democrats have this weird fetish for people that are not Americans. In other words, if you're an American who commits crime, they're willing to arrest you, which we all agree on. But if you're an illegal alien who comes into the country, you can commit crimes, and they'll do everything they can to protect you and support you. It's really a weird fetish, and I do not get it.
How do the people that did it the right way, waited their turn?
Right.
So many great immigrants who've come here did the test, did all the things they're required to do. Why should they be exposed? Some of them left some of these countries where they're being victimized right. by these criminal illegal aliens who have now come here. Why would you ever try to protect those criminal illegal aliens and expose them now to greater dangers in the United States?
We're speaking with Tom Hodge. We got Lenny Mills Jr. from Rehoboth here. So when Tom mentioned an article, what he's talking about, he read a newspaper article. It is an article by Tim Dunn, formerly of WBSM, Fox News, now at the Boston Herald. Tim Dunn is a friend of mine, is a regular here. We'll get him in next week at some point. Tim interviewed the governor for his article or went to her press conference. And we got a little clip from Tim Dunn. You can check it out at Consider Me Dunn. D-U-N-N, Consider Me Done on X. Here is Tim Dunn with our governor right now. Up at the State House.
Governor, last week, the ICE arrests included one who was statutory rape, a few different narcotics dealers. That was in the last week. How can you say that those guys are all gone? That doesn't seem to be accurate.
I did not say that folks are all gone. I didn't make any characterizations. What I did say, you know what, if you have information, I would love to see that. Because to be clear, from the outset, okay, as somebody who prosecuted.
Right in their Twitter.
As prosecuted crimes, who understands how important and has overseen and worked extensively with law enforcement. And God bless, I don't need to say in this moment, given what this state has experienced, how grateful I am to the men and women in law enforcement, our state police, our local police, others who are out there doing the important work of protecting public safety. I'm sorry that we even have to be distracted by these shenanigans, by this, by the harmful actions of this rogue agency. You know, I've said from the outset that to the extent there are people who committed crimes, who have pose a public safety threat to our communities, I've said from the outset, you know, we will support the apprehension of those individuals. And there's a way to do that, by the way. But what we've seen from ICE is not that. So, you know, I think this is why I've asked for information. Not only do we not know who's been taken, I mean, you guys probably hear report week after week of folks on their way to work, right? The landscaper picked up, or, you know, pulling over somebody who's driving a van with ladders on top of it, you know, taken away, or the stories of kids who've returned home from after school and mom isn't home. She's been taken. You know, we don't even know who these people are. We do know from earlier reports, though, that we saw the information provided. The vast majority of people are working hard, are paying taxes, are raising kids, are running businesses, are contributing to our economies, and yet they've been taken away. So, you know, I would, that's one of the things I'd like to see from ICE, an actual accounting of the residents of Massachusetts who've been taken.
So that's Tim Dunn's press conference with the governor. You know what I noticed right away, and you guys will probably pick up on this as well. She tries to turn the question around on Tim Dunn, who's a consummate professional journalist from the Boston. Oh, check him out at bostonherald.com. She says, if you have information, like, and Tim says, what's right on your Twitter? You know, in other words, she's trying to act like Tim Dunn has got information about criminals that she doesn't have. It's really bizarre.
Yeah, and what's really, really pretty obvious is how outrageous it is for her to say, you know, if you notice the words she used, you know, that they're arresting residents. Listen, the law, if she wants to always use this, I was an attorney general and I prosecuted cases, really, based on the rule of law, I believe. Since when do you get to pick and choose? And it's not your place to decide how federal laws are right. to be enforced. Right. You don't have that authority, and she's going to find out real quick. And I'll tell you, I have a long history with Governor Healey, going back to when she was Attorney General. And we know the complete farce that she was involved in with Mayorkas in that whole shutting down of our operation. And that's going to get, it's in the process of going to be brought up. But she is a complete farce. She was on the other side of the border in Mexico saying that we need to let people come into the country illegally. Right. It's not right not to let them come in. This is a woman who claims she was an attorney general and supports the rule of law. It's a joke. And she's a joke, to be honest with you. And she lies to the people of Massachusetts time and time again and thinking we're stupid, but we're not. And she's going to find out come election time this year.
Well, the thing that strikes me is she's diminishing the real danger that some people who happen to be illegal aliens are posing. And the idea that ICE is roaming around arresting residents who happen to have ladders on their truck. It's totally ridiculous. And people out there, normal people, realize that. But the fact of the matter is there are criminals, and some of them, many of them, are here illegally.
Yeah, but keep in mind, Chris, that the very thing she's complaining about, she's causing.
Right.
Because what she's doing is she's making it harder for ICE to find people.
Yes.
They don't want the transfers to take place in the controlled setting of our prisons and our county jails.
Right.
So what she's essentially doing is she's forcing ICE, like we saw at the car wash.
Yes.
They were looking for two individuals at that car wash, criminally illegal aliens. They got there, and there were, I think, four more maybe individuals that they were asking for IDs. And when they got them, it turns out those guys didn't have criminal records, but ICE can't go at that point, oh, okay, you guys are all set. You violated the law, because then they're undermining their oath. So they have to arrest them. Whether they get released after they get processed or whatever through ICE because they didn't have a criminal record, that's something ICE can do and does do sometimes. But in this case, she's causing them, these individuals who maybe are working, who ICE isn't looking for, to suddenly be put in ICE's path. And that's the real controversy here with regards to her claiming she has a great policy.
Yeah, and I think, Sheriff, what are your thoughts on this? It's my contention that she's doing this because she doesn't really want to run on her record, you know, the issues that she has. And she's speaking to her constituents, because the constituents obviously support this. The ones that are supporting her support this behavior. So really, what is the motive in the end? It's to get more people in your representative in your area for voting and these different types of things. But in the final analysis, people are getting hurt. Lives are being uprooted and changed for forever. You know, forever people's lives are being changed. What do you think about that?
Well, I think there are a lot of people who were very supportive based on the rhetoric, which we've heard even at the national level. But one thing I will point out to you that I think the Democratic convention is this week, isn't it?
For Massachusetts, yes.
For Massachusetts. At the Republican convention, as you know, Lenny, you were there. We had a woman whose son was brutally murdered. She was up there. She was one of the speakers. Your heart really wrenched for this poor mother. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering how many angel moms or dads do you think will be at the Democrat convention to speak? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you, none, because that would undermine or would expose, frankly, the hypocrisy of what they're doing and causing these moms and dads, which is what ICE is trying to prevent. by having somebody there that would do that,
right,
wouldn't fit their agenda because they're not about us.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back more with Sheriff Hodgson, Selectman Lenny Mills, and me. It's Fun Friday. Stick around. Give us a call, 508-996-0500. We'll be right back.
And you. This portion of programming on WBSM is brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get two hot dogs, chips, and a soda for just $6.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
That Spanish moss was hanging off of that old live oak tree. She laid her head there on my chest and whispered soft to me. And I come to know the charming ways of a southern belle. She weaved a web so gently, and I fell under her spell. As I held Georgia, Georgia and Alabama.
Welcome back to the program. That's Georgia and Alabama, written by Paul Overstreet, performed by Billy Currington. You can get it on Spotify or YouTube. I think that's going to be another big song of the year. Hey, are you looking for a job? Well, Citywide Glass is hiring. Citywide Glass believes that your career should be as solid as the work you do. At Citywide Glass, we're growing a team that values quality, integrity, and service. We're expanding and looking for motivated individuals to join our crew. Whether you're a pro in the field or great with people, we have a spot for you. We are currently hiring auto and residential glass technicians, customer service and front counter sales associates, and account receivable representatives. Enjoy competitive pay, a strong company culture, and a real opportunity to move up. Make the safe choice with your future. Apply today at Citywide Glass. Citywide Glass is located in Dartmouth and in Fall River and at citywideglass.net. Check them out. So we have Tom Hodgson here, the former sheriff for Bristol County. We got Lenny Mills here, the current selectman, one of the selectmen in Rehoboth. We're talking about all kinds of stuff. Tom, how you've been out there on the campaign trail following the governor's race. I understand you had one of the former candidates for lieutenant governor, kind of a tragedy, really, speaking in Dartmouth the other morning or the other evening. But you were really impressed with her. Talk about that.
Yeah, Chris, we had an opportunity to hear from Ian Brensley, who I think most people know now was a victim of fraud with regards to the signature pages of her election process. That I think the number was somewhere close to 2,800 fraudulent signatures. Some of the things we learned were that we didn't know, and the people in the audience were like, they were flabbergasted. They were like, this is outrageous. This voter fraud is really well beyond what anybody ever thought it was. And she basically talked about how, for example, her and Martin's had 71 sheets.
Ann Manning Martins was also running for lieutenant. Yeah. I believe she still is, but yeah. I'm not sure. I haven't heard
71 sheets, all fraudulent signatures. Okay. She had 30. One of them had 39. The other had 31. But the other thing,
were fraudulent on her behalf.
Correct. So she had hired somebody to get these signatures.
Right.
And what happened is, for example, some of them she looked at, they actually went alphabetically. The signatures on the pages,
right,
were in alphabetical order based on the voter list. Think about that. Well, you're out in the community. I mean, what are the chances of you getting alphabetically people going into Shaw's?
Right.
Just happened to work out that way.
Right.
I mean, it was outrageous. Every one of the sheets was full. There's a meeting right now in Manchester today. I believe she's at it. But whether she ends up, you know, being qualified to be lieutenant governor, which likely won't happen.
Right.
She recognizes that maybe, and she was very humble about it. She said, you know what? I really wish it was different. I hope that in her case, she said she hopes that in Manny Martin makes it. She wants to see, obviously, Mike Minogue be very successful. She's going to do everything she can to help him. But in the end,
going away would probably help him. In other words, no. like anything that Ann Brensley puts her name to, like, I think would be bad for the candidate.
Well, actually, not based on what she's finding. She's okay. Already got lawsuits pending. The guy who she hired, she told him, you were responsible. You have all these fraudulent things, and then there's more deeper than that involving him and others. But he paid her back every bit of money that she had paid him to do it. And she's not done with it yet. She's still got legal action going on. But the bigger point is she's very committed to making sure she's not letting this go. She's going to pursue this for the state of Massachusetts. She said, we have to fix this problem. We can't allow it to go on. And I give her a lot of credit for that. And she said, you know, sometimes I remember telling her this. I said, as I'm listening to you, I always would tell people, always remember God writes straight with crooked lines.
Right.
He puts you, things happen for reasons you don't know, but you get put in a place where you're going to be even more effective. And I think, and she agreed, she's a Christian person. She said, yeah. I really think sometimes we do get things happen for reasons. I see this as maybe this is the direction I was chosen to go to.
Right.
And to make sure nobody has this happen to them in the future. And I give her a lot of credit for that. And people were very, very impressed at that meeting and felt very, very badly for her once they heard the story. A lot of people made presumptions. Oh, she didn't do her job. She was irresponsible. How could she not have let it happen?
That's all the things I said, Sheriff.
Well, yeah. And you know what?
That's, and continue to say.
And I talked to her about that and said, you know, naturally, that's what the average person would think until they get to hear the story.
Right.
When you hear that story, you go...
You get sucked in?
No, you go, oh, my goodness. And it wasn't based on sort of just these ideas. It was based on what she's learned,
right?
What she's uncovering, and she's got more coming,
right? Is she still continuing to be attempting to be a write-in candidate? That's the last I heard. She's going to be a write-in candidate for lieutenant governor, which is really ridiculous, I think.
Well, I'm not going to speak for her, but I would say this: I think she recognizes she's a very realist person. I think she recognizes that it's a very difficult uphill battle, and that even pursuing this legally, the chances of getting it through prior to the election and getting decisions would be very, very difficult.
Yeah.
If you were to get a positive decision, and that's not even guaranteed. So I think she's a realist. She's looking at this thing more as, I got to put in this position, but I got to do something about it. I can't. She's committed to good government.
Right.
And when you hear her talk...
I'd like to interview her, but as long as she's not still... Because we have a rule, as I explained to you, Sheriff. We have a rule here. We don't put write-in candidates on the radio. Because if you can't achieve the signatures, and this applies to city council and state rep, and certainly I've never heard of anyone trying to be a write-in for lieutenant governor, but it would apply to her as well. I'm happy to hear her talk about her story, because it is a tragedy. Let's face it. For the Republican Party, but I think she ought to... quiet her quest and back whoever she wants to back to be lieutenant governor. As far as I know, there really is only one candidate. Sean Oliver has the signatures, got the minimum vote at the convention, who's on the ballot.
Yeah,
I don't know about Ann Manny Martin yet.
Yeah, we'll know that. I think this coming Tuesday, we'll know for sure. And interestingly, it was only the Republican candidates that ended up with that situation. That we know of, but that's
the fraudulent signatures, which forbid them to get on the ballot,
right? To the degree it had, so that's a very interesting question that I think even the Secretary of State's office has got to look at, and I think that, frankly, there's going to be some delving into the Democrat nomination papers as well to identify. Did this also happen to you? And to the degree it did, why was it just the Republican candidates, and Mike Walsh? He also used the same.
Did he get on the ballot?
I don't know. We won't know until Tuesday.
Okay.
But think about this: three Republican candidates all exposed to this. What was behind that? How did that happen just to the Republicans and not the Democrats?
Right.
We don't know, and I don't know the answer to that question.
Right.
But I think more to come.
508-996-0500. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hello.
Good morning. Thanks for calling us, gentlemen.
Hello.
Yeah. Good morning.
Yeah. Well. So, Sheriff, you said that when she examined the names. Now, I might have missed some of this because I was in and out of the car. I'm sorry, so forgive me if you've explained this already.
But sure.
She looked at it, and it was in alphabetical order. Now, did she say right there, well, there's something wrong here, or did she turn it in like that?
Well, no, she actually had hired someone to turn in. She's found this out, you know, after this.
After she
got a call from one of the clerks saying, you know, we've identified some fraudulent signatures, she began looking into it, and that's when it all started to unravel.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard people say, you know, she might have been a little naive or whatever, which, I mean, that may be true, and anybody can make mistakes, and if you've never been through something before, but I think she must have been if she was on city council or whatever. But, I mean, you don't want someone who's naive to be in a position like that either. You know, I mean, I think your team should be looking into, you know, into all the ways that this happens. If someone's charging a lot less for signatures than somebody else, maybe there's a reason for that. You know, I mean,
I just think
it's unfortunate that it happened to these people. But at the same time, I think there should have been somebody in their team looking out for this.
I think that's a fair point. I think one of the things that I think is impressive about Ann Brentsley, when she was speaking in Dartmouth, and she was not hesitant at all to say, you know what, I was brand new at this. I wish I had known that this kind of a thing could have happened, and perhaps we would have been able to catch this earlier. And that's not, you know, when somebody's pursuing something in office is big and going for that and hiring somebody that you believe, who's a Republican, he's the chairman, I believe, of the, I forget which
the board of registrar in the town of Braintree. He's appointed by the board of selectmen. He's also the chairman of the town committee or the city committee up there in Braintree.
Not Braintree. I think it's one of the other.
Oh, Quincy, maybe.
When it begins, I don't know if it's. I want to say Rentham. Maybe I'm not sure. But so there was no reason for her to distrust that this person would come through with it. But I think the bigger question, caller. I mean, you raise some good points, but I think, and fair points. I think the bigger question, in my view, is why did this happen to three Republican candidates to the degree of the fraud that we're seeing? And it didn't.
I wouldn't put anything past Democrats if that was, you know, some Democratic
or other Republicans
to get this done. It could have been other Republicans,
Whole situation's unfortunate. But hopefully we can fix this so it doesn't happen to other people who are willing to step forward, give their time, work hard, go out there, and then suddenly be completely undermined and find out, wait a minute, everything I worked for is gone.
I know that Tim Dunn at the Boston Herald, bostonherald.com, is working on this story right now. He just got off the phone with Ann Brentsley, and he's writing it up right now. So you can keep in touch with that story.
He's a great writer.
Yeah, he's a great reporter. Lenny, you've collected signatures over the years for a lot of candidates and for yourself as a selectman. Your thoughts on this?
Yeah, well, collecting signatures, like the sheriff pointed out, that's an important job to do. And he made a good point. I'll give you an example. Like in Rehoboth for a selectman, you only need, like, you know, 100 signatures, you know. Sheriff, how many do you need for sheriff when you
need 1,000?
So 1,000. So I know you work tremendously hard getting them yourself and going. I've seen you and I've helped you and I've worked with you. But let's put it in perspective. How many do you need for lieutenant governor?
10,000.
So, yeah, so the callers know what they're up against. So in those cases, it's not uncommon, and it's usually the norm, right? Sheriff, correct me if I'm wrong, that they pay companies to do that, individuals. And
some people do. Yeah,
right. But so, you know, if that's what happened, that's a very, you know, unfortunate situation, you know?
I know you agree, I presume you agree with this, Lenny, knowing you from the years I have. But when you're out getting signatures, and Ann Brentsley learned this, that even though you're having that company do it for you, although she was out with other supporters doing it as well, but if a company's doing that for you, you tell them, each week I need to know, you turn those in to the respective town halls so they can count them, verify them, so you can keep a running track of exactly how many. So you might have a sheet for 20, and you turn it into New Bedford has it ready in a week for you, and they say, okay, of the 20, 17 were legitimate signatures, only there were three that either signed as Democrats or whatever, but there's three that don't qualify. So now you have a running total instead of, and this is, I think, where Ann realizes if she had known that, she would have, she just trusted that was going to happen, that they'd get the right amount. the total number doesn't much matter. You want to keep a running track, turn them in the Secretary of State's office and keep it going until you know you have what you need.
But look.
Along the way.
Look, we all are unified here, I believe, in saying we got to get a Republican governor and get rid of Healey. And they're going to be a lieutenant governor with him. I think the longer that Ann Brensley hangs around talking about her story, the more of a liability it is for the Republican Party. In other words, she didn't make the ballot. She got tax problems as well, which may not be her fault either. But she's bad for the Republican Party at a time that we may have the opportunity. I was speaking with a Democrat state representative yesterday, and he said, once again, the Republican Party is going to blow it in an election they could win, and in part because of these lieutenant governor's candidates, this one in particular, who now won't go away. She didn't make the ballot.
Yeah, I think, Chris, and I hear your point. I would just differ a little bit on that, in that she's focused more on this issue of fraud as opposed to in relation to her run for lieutenant governor. In other words, she's shifted her focus, and
forgive me if I'm wrong, Sheriff. It was Republicans that committed the fraud on her behalf.
Well, the company she had, the guy was a Republican, yeah, and he's still
So you get my point, right? I mean, you get my point that these are Republicans committing a fraud on behalf of Ann Brensley. Only after people outside of that network discovered the fraud is now she talking about it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? It's not good for the Republicans.
Well, no, of course,
of which
not.
I'm one.
Of course, we don't like to see that kind of thing happen. But we know this kind of fraud's been going on.
Can we send her to the Cayman Islands, Lenny? Just get her the hell out of here.
Well, I think when you read her story, Tim's story, that might give a little more perspective for the readers to say, hey, we got a serious problem in Massachusetts. Whether it was a Republican or a Democrat.
But it was a Republican.
No. I'm not disagreeing with you, Chris. I'm only making the point that we have a serious problem that this could go on, and we need to be able to find a way to make sure going forward this can't happen again. Whether it was for a Democrat or Republican, I'd say the same thing if it was a Democrat candidate that happened to. Because
right,
and
we'd be laughing. We wouldn't.
Well,
we'd be laughing about it. But why didn't it happen? You know what I mean? In other words,
well, that's the interesting question, isn't it?
Yes,
that's the interesting question, and I think that's one that will give us some perspective, one way or the other, as to why. Why did it happen to three Republican candidates? Mike Walsh. Mike Walsh, great candidate.
Yes.
What a
super candidate. See if he gets on the ballot. He's not a candidate yet unless he gets on the ballot.
But to my point.
Right.
And to your point, yeah. I mean, the last person you would think would be involved in trying to undermine Republicans, particularly getting paid to get these signatures, would be a Republican or an alleged Republican at this point.
Right. And I'm wondering... my point is, all this confusion, all this inside baseball, with all the suspects somehow being Republicans, just makes it less likely that Democrats and unenrolled voters are going to trust key product politics. You know that, Sheriff. You had it for 25 years. Lenny has it. The trust of the people to put him in power.
Yeah, but
that's why Ann Brensley should kind of just go away.
Well, I think. One of the great things...
Go back to Honduras.
One of the great things about Mike Minogue is Mike Minogue is completely focused on his responsibilities and as governor and what he brings to being the top administrator of Massachusetts government. So that, I think that, in spite of this situation happening, I think it gives more focus on, okay, the two people that are out there right now running... What are they bringing to us? Who do you support more?
But let me put on the table, because it's been said here numerous times. Ann Brensley, who Mike Minogue voted for at the convention, I asked him about it when I had him on the other day. His opponent, Brian Shortsleeve and Sean Oliver, pointing to, hey, he selected Ann Brensley to vote for at the convention. Whether or not it's his running mate, it won't be now. But it points to the fact that maybe you can't trust his vetting process. And did he ever vet her? And I know she forced her way in by doing all that convention delegate selection ahead of time. She was very skillful at that. But here we are with Mike Minogue and Brensley teamed up together at the convention by the delegates. And Brian Shortsleeve was saying, hey, I vetted my opponent, Sean Oliver. He's with me. We're running. We're ready to take over. Mike Minogue and Ann Brensley aren't.
Well, and I don't know what vetting's been done for the other two candidates, and it doesn't appear any yet, but that doesn't mean that it's not coming. And I think, you know, making these accusations that Mike didn't vet her, Mike said from the very beginning, I'm going to leave it up to the voters. Who he chose to vote for at the convention was his choice as an individual voter. Of the three, that's who he thought, based on whatever background he had in regards to her public service and whatever else, that is who he gave a vote to for lieutenant governor. Didn't mean it was going to be his ultimate winner and partner. He wasn't going to pick that. He said the public's going to decide that for me. So I think, you know, everybody has an individual choice of why they decide to vote for whoever they vote for. But I think we'll see now where things go and how that all plays out.
So I would be surprised. Obviously, Brian Schulze vetted Sean Oliver before he selected him to be his lieutenant governor candidate. You do that before you select him, right, obviously. And I can't believe after the beating that Sean got from the Coalition for Social Justice and the media that there's anything in there that we haven't heard about. And the best we heard, or the worst we heard, was Sean once made some slightly insensitive jokes about transgender people. And I think most people are kind of over that. But we'll see. You know, that's what campaigns are about. By the way, this hour is brought to you by the cold beer and the world's best chicken wings at Rose Alley Ale House in downtown New Bedford. Beautiful day to sit on the deck at Rose Alley. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Broke. Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
I bet you never heard old Marshall Dillon say, Miss Kitty, have you ever thought of running away? Settling down, would you marry me? If I ask you twice and beg you pretty please, she'd have said yes in a New York minute. They never tied a knot.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. Of course, we have Lenny Millers Jr. here from Rehoboth, the Honorable Tom Hodgson here from Bristol County. We're talking about all kinds of things, taking your calls at 508-996-0500. Lenny, what do you think of all this stuff with Brensley and Lieutenant Governor's race?
Well, I think the song you just put on is appropriate.
Yeah.
It should have been a cowboy. Listen, I've said it long before I ever was elected in any position. Mm-hmm. Politics is a blood sport.
Right.
And anybody thinks it isn't, has not had enough experience.
Right. Right?
Sheriff, you can correct me if you want, but I firmly believe that with all my... And I've been a fighter my whole life, literally.
Literally.
Literally. It's a blood sport out there. And so a lot of things happen, you know? And I can empathize on signatures for anybody, and I'm speaking about Ann right now, but I myself go around with signatures, and if people don't understand, you go and you say, would you endorse me, would you sign this, you have to be an independent or a Republican in my case, and sometimes people don't even know, and then sometimes they say they are, because but they rarely, I have a lot of people, Democrats support me, a lot of people in Rehoboth, and I'm proud of that. They'll sign it.
Sure.
You know, but the sheriff said earlier in the show that the most important issue, you have to turn them in, you have to keep a tally of what's going on, and you got to pay attention right to the finish line, and then some. If you need 10,000, you got to turn in, 13,000, 14,000, whatever it is. So, it's a blood sport, and there's a lot of things going on. You can be taken out in many different ways. We all know that. And it's not any different than being in business, especially in the concrete business.
Right?
It's coming from every angle. You never know when it's going to hit you. But you try to prepare for it as best you can. And look, it's over. It's done with. I mean, what are you going to do? You move on, you
know? Lenny, of course, is in the concrete business. American Forms is his company. And my point being is that we all recognize it's about beating Maura Healey. This is a tough state. Incumbents, regardless of party, incumbents are always difficult to beat. There's a reason Maura Healey didn't take on Charlie Baker, right? Incumbents are hard to beat. She's going to be a difficult person. despite what you and I think of her, not everybody shares our opinion. Even some of us who voted for her might do it again. So any sort of confusion, people have a fraction of a time to pay attention. Any confusion, any lack of trust, any questions, I think will make it difficult for whoever the ultimate Republican nominee is. That's my point.
Yeah, I think that, you know, you make a good point. In other words, we want to win, right?
Yes.
And it's a blood sport. So
right.
We want to put it right behind us quick, as well we should, and move on. But the sheriff makes a good point, too. I mean, he has to, you know, Mike has to have an explanation for what he said. He wasn't endorsing anybody, but that's where his vote. So I get that. But I do agree with both of you. But my primarily thing is to see Mike Minogue get elected in there. And I went to the convention.
Right.
I voted for Mike Minogue, and I voted for Sean Oliver.
Right.
I think the record is public, isn't it, Sheriff?
Yep.
People can look at that, so it's no secret.
Right.
And that's how I did it. But, I mean, she wants to explain it. You want to make changes. Yeah, that's fine. But I think right now we want to win. So we're in a war, and we have time right now. It's like the song, The Gambler. The time for counting isn't sitting at the table.
Right.
There'll be time enough later, get that done. But right now we got to march right into November, and we got to win this race.
Yeah, I agree. And I think Lenny's spot on. That's exactly what we have to do, and we will.
Yeah.
I think, you know, winning requires great leaders.
Yes.
Mike Minogue, if you ever had a leader that you wanted to get behind to win something, he is so well-disciplined. He's so qualified and so focused on, as we've often heard him say, affordability, accountability, opportunity, and keeping the
community. AAOK.
That's it.
I see it every morning when I get up and put the news on.
Yeah, but simple message, but a fundamental message about how government should work.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't see government through a political lens. Mara Healey, you just need to look at her career, even when she was Attorney General.
Right.
She enjoyed herself in more lawsuits against President Trump than any other Attorney General in the United States. So
I really think she's running for the wrong office.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, this is a compliment for her. She may not take it that way, but it is. She really should be running for the U.S. Senate. Okay, she should be the Democrat nominee for U.S. Senate. I wouldn't vote for her, but I'm just saying she seems much more comfortable on the big abstract federal issues than the day-to-day mechanics of running the government. When you end up so not paying attention that you have a cocaine dealer running your Western Mass office, that's a total embarrassment for the state, totally embarrassing for her, and not how I think she envisioned her life to turn out.
I think that's a great point,
right?
Chris. I do think... You know, when you're a governor, you have to make sure you're in touch with your top cabinet.
Yeah.
You have to have regular meetings. You've got to drill down into the issues. And when you're in this sort of bigger, abstract, sort of national model, following whatever party positions they have at the time, you're not really representing the people. If you want that, go do that there, as you said.
Right.
But this is running state governments about drilling down to the people's kitchen table and finding out what matters to you. How can I fix this? How can I make sure that our kids don't have to leave here because they can't afford it?
Right.
How can we prevent us from being the third highest in taxes in the United States? And on and on and on. I mean, the sanctuary problems, the billions we spent on immigration, the fraud going on, and
well,
that's coming out
point.
Too pretty soon.
My point is, I think most of us recognize taxes are the function or a cost for living in a good society. But we want to see what happens to the money. I mean, they're shelling it out to illegal aliens and the contractors, no-bid contracts, all of that foolishness. Couldn't get away with that in Rehoboth, could you, Lenny?
No, you can't. It's too small a town, which is a good thing, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, it's an excellent point. You know, the sheriff makes the point. You know, it's table talk. It's every night talk for everybody when you're dealing with a state like Massachusetts. You're not on a federal level. So we said it the first hour when I was on, you know, you have to sit down and roll up your sleeves and work with people. And you have to suffer with them. You have to celebrate with them. You have to laugh and cry. You have to work hard to make changes for people. You can't be so far. No leader should be so far ahead of their followers that the followers can't see him or her.
Yes.
And I think that's what we have. And I don't think Mike would do that.
And the other point is, if you're the governor, You should be the one screaming loudest behind DiZiglio to find out. I want to know what's going on in the legislature.
Sure.
How is our money being spent in the legislature? How is it not supposed to be spent, or how is it being spent in our favor? If you don't have that information, you don't want to know it, you just want to turn a blind eye, that's telling me you're not paying attention to the things that matter to the average person, particularly when 72% of us said, we want an audit.
Right.
We want to know, and any business, imagine the CEO saying, oh, I don't want to know, I don't want an audit. You know, imagine your company, and you're saying, I don't want to know what the bookkeepers do. I don't want to know where that money's being spent by this department or that department.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. Business should be ludicrous. You might as well blow your brains out and stay in business and do that. Why you'd want to do that in government? I mean, I wouldn't want it done in my small town. Why you wouldn't want to not have an audit if it calls for one to find out? But, it's important. You know, I served on a board in the Cayman Islands for 10 years with a forensic accountant, lead forensic accountant out of New York City. And their talents are unbelievable, and they'll show you where the money goes.
Well, 70% of the people asked in Rehoboth for, they said that we want to have an audit.
They did.
And you said, we're not doing that. And your election's coming up. What's going
to
happen?
I have a nightmare in Rehoboth. I couldn't go to Cumberland Farms. I couldn't go to a ball game. Nothing. As well, I shouldn't have been able to.
We're going to take a break. By the way, I want to point out that the only Democrat to vote with the Republicans in the state Senate was our own Senator Mark Montigny on the audit to release the documents. I assume they're not going to get released, because maybe they will. I haven't sorted the whole thing out, but I do know Senator Montigny voted. Thanks for joining me. Stick around for Barry. Have a great week.